While others were still in bed, he was already on the move. As the sun began to rise, he slowly made his way through the vineyard. He walked the entire vineyard, row by row. Along the way, he carefully examined every branch, inspecting the leaves for signs of disease, checking on the maturity of the fruit, stopping from time to time when one branch or another might need special attention. Long before any of the workers had arrived, he had already formed the day's plan for tending the vines and harvesting the fruit. He was the vine dresser. John 15, in those first two verses, that's exactly how Jesus described his heavenly Father. He is the vine dresser, the owner of the vineyard. That doesn't mean that he was willing to sit back and leave the labor to other people. The truth is, the vine dresser was more active than anybody else when it came to caring for the vine. He didn't say, "I've got plenty of people who work for me, so I'll let them do the work and I'll sit back and watch." He was hands-on busy with the life of the vine. The truth is, he was more deeply committed to the long-term health of the vineyard than anybody else, because he personally established the vineyard with his own hands. He is constantly committed to keeping it healthy and fruitful and strong. No wonder Jesus called his Father the vine dresser. When Jesus called him that, he was reminding us all about the nature of his Father, the one who made us all, who loves us all, who is committed to our growth, who is actively committed in our good. In the same way that the vine dresser was at work in the vineyard, the Lord is at work among his people. He was in the days of Jesus, and he is today. So this morning, I want to take some time, and I want to talk about the role of the vine dresser. Now, you and I are a little bit different from those disciples who listened to Jesus in the upper room, because for them, day by day, wherever they turned, they saw the evidence of the vineyards. They were growing all around them. It was a part of their daily living. Probably not for us. If I ask you today, have you ever seen a vineyard? You might say, "Well, I've seen somebody growing a little grape arbor behind their house." Living here in the South, we might say, "Well, I've seen some muscadines growing. I've seen some scuppernong growing. I'm not sure I've ever seen some grapes growing." But we understand what it's like to think of a hillside, as we see on the picture this morning, covered with vineyards. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted people to think about with his heavenly Father. Here is the one who is the vine dresser. He is the one who cares for the vine. So what does that mean? When I say to you, the Heavenly Father is your vine dresser, what is he trying to say to you? Let's take a few minutes. Let's look together at the role of the vine dresser. First thing you see is this: the Father is the protector of the vineyard. One of the vine dresser's most important jobs was protecting the vineyard from harm. There were animals who could damage the plants. There were thieves who wanted to steal the fruit. There was disease that could ruin the vineyard. There were enemies who might be determined to destroy the life of the vineyard. Without a protector, the vineyard was exposed to everything that could harm it. And that's why the vine dresser made a point, day by day by day by day, without ever stopping, without ever telling himself, "Oh, it'll be fine for a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two." Found himself constantly checking out the life of the vineyard because he was its protector. "It depends upon me. If I take time off, if I decide to do other things, if I neglect the vine, things are going to happen and nobody's going to be able to fix it again." The vine dresser met every need of the branches. He provided the care they required. Each branch received the sunlight it needed. Every plant was provided with water every day. The vine dresser made sure the soil was rich and nourishing. And it was the vine dresser's task to provide the vineyard with constant vigilance. What the vine dresser did was important, but why he did it was even more important. He did it because he loved the vineyard. one of my favorite books in the world, Lessons from a Venetian Vine Dresser. You'll be hearing me talk about that book again and again. It's one of those books I've read at least half a dozen times and probably more. Scott Steiner was an interesting person. He was a missionary in Italy for a number of years. And across the course of those years, he got to be a friend and familiar with his neighbor. His neighbor's name was Aldo, and he tended vines. He was a vine dresser. Not only did he take care of a vineyard, but Aldo was taking care of a vineyard that had been in his family for 4 and 5 generations. It was who their family was. Steiner tells the story about how he would watch his friend Aldo tending his vines, and he recognized a great difference between what he did and what the workers for a big commercial vineyard did that was just down the road. This is what he discovered. Employees treat the vines because that's their job. Vine dressers tend the vines because they love the vineyard. And Aldo loved his vineyard. The same thing is true when you think about the Lord. When you think about the Father as the vine dresser, you recognize he cares for the vineyard, not because it's his job, not because it's his obligation, not because he's supposed to. He does it because he loves the vineyard. The truth is, the vine dresser, who is the Heavenly Father, knows each vine, each branch, each cluster of fruit very specifically. And he cares about it, and he takes care of them. And he wants to make sure everything is okay because this is his vineyard and he loves everything about it. That's why I love the way the King James Version describes the role of the vine dresser. It calls him a husbandman. Now, there's a word you haven't heard in a long time. That may be a word you've never heard at all. A husbandman, someone who loves and cares for the vineyard. This is why I like it so much, because it is a very personal term. A vine dresser, a farmer, that's one thing, but a husbandman is someone who loves the vine. It's an image of very particular love. Every part of it is important to me. It is an illustration of great concern and care. It is a reflection of absolute commitment. What am I saying? Our Heavenly Father is the husbandman. He cares deeply about you. He knows everything about your life. And everything about you matters to Him. When he looks out upon the vineyard, he doesn't look at one thing. He looks at every part. And every part is precious to him. He is the husbandman. The Bible describes God's love this way. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 27:2-3. In that day, sing to her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Now, take that verse. Look at it. It's there on the screen. And put your name there. Wherever it talks about the vine, let it talk about you. In that day, sing to me. I'm a vineyard of red wine. The Lord keeps me. He waters me every moment. He protects me. He keeps me night and day. God cares about me. I read that verse and I can't help but think about the idea of a vine dresser as he goes about his business and he just sings to himself as he walks past the vine, because he's exactly where he wants to be and he's doing exactly what he wants to do. And I think about how when God cares for you and me, he sings to himself. As he looks at your life and mine and he thinks about how he created you and how he has redeemed you and how he wants to keep you with himself forever, and he just can't help but sing over the vineyard that he loves. Isn't that powerful? The vine dresser protects the vine, but that's not all that he does. The Bible says the Father cultivates his vineyard. John describes two ways that the vine dresser promoted the growth of the vine. The first thing is this. It says sometimes he has to take them up. Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." You know, a lot of people have interpreted that verse in a number of ways. Some people have said, this is evidence that there are times when you could lose your salvation. That there comes that point where God is disappointed in you because you've decided to allow sin back into your life, and because of that, he's just turned away from you. You're saved, but then you're lost again. They think you're judged by what you do and not by what Jesus did for you on the cross. There are other people I've heard who have interpreted this phrase, and they've said, this says that if there's ever a time in your life when you begin to disappoint the Lord and when your sin begins to affect other people, he's going to take you out. He's going to just make sure you can't hurt anybody else, so he'll just stop you right where you are, take you to heaven, and you can't hurt anybody again. But this is what the Bible says about that phrase. The verb that is translated takes away is the word aero, A-E-R-O. Same word you think of when you think of aerospace. That word was used to describe when the disciples took up 12 baskets of food after Jesus fed the 5,000. It's the word that describes when Simon of Cyrene took up the cross of Jesus Christ, carried it to Calvary. That word aero means you take something that has fallen and you lift it up again. In a vineyard, there are times when a branch is dragged to the ground. Something happens and somehow that particular branch is detached from the rest of the vine and it just kind of falls to the ground and it's trampled underfoot and it's covered with dust and it no longer has any exposure to the sunlight. And it's just kind of worthless on the ground. The question is, so what does the vine dresser do when a branch has fallen? The simplest thing to do would be cut it off, throw it away. Tend to the rest of the vine and don't worry about this fallen branch. But the vine dresser doesn't give up on a wayward branch. Instead, he lifts it up, he cleans it off, and he weaves it back into the vine so it can be healthy again. That's what Jesus taught us in John 15. In those times, and maybe they come in most of our lives at some point or another, when we grow discouraged, or we find ourselves involved in sinful actions, or we've fallen away from the Lord, and we're covered with dust, and we've become useless, and we're cut off from the sunlight. What does he do? The Bible says he does the same thing to you and me. When we allow sin and pride, failure, discouragement to neutralize our faith, God comes to aero us, to lift us up, and to make us fruitful again. Isn't it good to know that when you realize you belong to the vine dresser, when you're a follower of Jesus Christ and when you've committed your life to him, there never comes that time when God says, I'm through with you. I give up on you. I turn my back on you. I'll just cut you off and move on to somebody else. It never occurs to the Lord to do that. Instead, he sees us when we're fallen and useless and worthless. And maybe even in that state where everybody else would just walk away, we have a Heavenly Father who will bend down and lift you up and clean you off and make you what you still have the potential to become. Our God will never give up on you. He will never turn his back on his own. Isn't it good to know that we have a Father who lifts us up? Sometimes he comforts, Sometimes he confronts. Sometimes he convicts. It isn't always easy, and sometimes it really hurts. But his motive is to make you clean and fruitful again. And he will forever keep reaching out to you. Sometimes he has to lift us up. Sometimes he has to prune the vineyard. Jesus said, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I want you to understand that. Jesus says, and when you are fruitful, when you are living for him, when you are pleasing God, he's going to prune you. Let me tell you something about pruning. It hurts. Sometimes God reaches in and he does things in your life and it hurts. But Jesus says pruning is what happens to productive branches so they will become more productive. So fruitful branches will become even more fruitful. The vine dresser cuts back healthy branches for one of three reasons. One of the reasons is because pruning stimulates growth. One of the things that will happen in a vine is it could reach a certain size, and then when it reaches that certain size, it stops growing. I've gone as far as I need to go. I've learned as much as I need to learn. I've lived as much as I need to live. I think I'll just stop right here. This is a comfortable place for me. I've been in the vine for a long time. I've seen my life bear fruit. I've done my part. I think I'll stop. And in those times, the Lord may step in and he may prune. We need the pain of pruning sometimes to become stronger. When you become comfortable with who you are spiritually, and the Lord may prune you, what's he going to do? Sometimes he'll put you in the midst of difficult circumstances that you did not see coming. And all of a sudden you realize anew, I've got to depend upon the Lord. I can't handle this by myself. I thought I could. I've gotten comfortable with myself. And so God steps in and he prunes you because you're comfortable. Or you may have to face obstacles that seem too high and too high for you to reach over the top of. Here's the thing about pruning. It may hurt for a while, but the benefit will be worth it. In those times when God steps in and he allows you to experience things and they hurt and they challenge and you have to struggle, it may be hard when it's going on, but when it's done, when God has done his work, you will look back and say, I am so glad the Lord did that in my life. No wonder the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God is at work in you. So sometimes pruning stimulates growth, and sometimes pruning removes the things that distract us. In a vineyard, every branch has things that are called shooters growing on it. You ever seen a shooter on a vine? You know what I'm talking about? Those little curlicue things that just kind of grow out from the vine, and they never become a branch, and they never bear fruit, and they won't hurt the vine, but they steal strength and nourishment away from the vine. Sometimes we have to be careful that we avoid spiritual shooters in our own lives. You know what I'm talking about? Priorities and preoccupations that are not bad things, but they can become big distractions. Things that steal our attention away from the things that matter the most, so that we can be part of those things that are so preoccupying. It's kind of like when I say to myself, you know, I'm going to go on the internet for a minute and just check the news. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to check the news. And I go on the internet and I check the news because I'm a boring person. And I look up and it's not 5 minutes that's gone by, it's 45 minutes. I've allowed myself to be distracted. Now, does that stuff hurt me? Not at all, except that it steals my attention away from the things that really matter. And all of us have something. And we have to be careful that we don't allow those things to distract us, to require so much time and attention that the things that matter the most get away. A shooter can be a hobby or a habit, a show or shopping online. Something that should be minor becomes too major. Sometimes God will step in and say, okay, we need to cut that out. We need to get that away from you. And when he doesn't do it to punish you, but to get you back on track in your walk with Christ. It's when the Lord says you've allowed something that should be a little thing to become a big thing, and that big thing is crowding out the things that really matter, and all of a sudden you're not really bearing any fruit anymore because you're too busy with other things. And they've distracted you from what matters the most. Here's what you need to know about pruning. When the Lord steps in to prune your life, and you have to deal with difficult circumstances, and when you have to struggle with things that could really hurt, and when you have to draw your attention back from things that distract you, you need to understand what the vine dresser is up to. You see, pruning is an investment for the long run. If you've ever seen a vine that's been pruned, it looks like it will never bear fruit again. Judith loves to prune her roses. When she's done with them, I'll look at it and say, you've killed it. You've cut it all the way down to the nub. There's nothing pretty left. The leaves are gone. The flowers are gone. Everything is gone. What have you done? But that's what pruning is like, isn't it? In anything that's growing. If you walk into a vineyard after it's just been pruned, you say to yourself, what has the vine dresser done? Has he lost his mind? Everything that was so pleasing has been cut away, and it seems a shame that it has to be pruned that way. But here's the thing. The vine dresser is committed to you for the long run. And sometimes in those challenging times, you know that he understands today is necessary if tomorrow's going to be fruitful. You're going to have to go through this now. Because even though you can't see it now, down the road, it's all going to pay off. Down the road, it's all going to be worth it. Sometimes you can't understand why things happen the way they do. Sometimes you want to say to the Lord, I thought you loved me. I thought you were taking care of me. How could you let this happen to me? Always remember this. The vine dresser always does what is for your good and his glory. And even in the midst of the pain, you recognize God knows what he's doing. And when it's come, and when it's gone, and when everything that's been pruned begins to flourish again, then you realize he really knew what he was doing all along. It will make sense. A few years ago, Babbie Mason wrote a beautiful song about the pruning seasons of life. I thought it sums up the work of the vine dresser so perfectly that I've asked Evie to help me close the message by sharing this song with us all. Evie?
All things work for our good. Sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows. what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see him, remember he's still on the throne. God is too wise to be mistaken, and God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, if you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. He sees the master plan. He holds the future in his hands. So don't live as those who have no hope. All our hope is found in him. We see the present clearly, but he sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, he's weaving you and me to someday be like him. God is too wise to be mistaken, and God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you can't see his plan, if you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, if you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. If you can't trace his hand, trust his heart.
So maybe today's the day when it's time for you to trust his heart, to recognize whatever may have happened, whatever I've experienced in my life, it's all part of the fact that I have a Father who loves me and is always doing what is best for me. Sometimes I can't trace his hand. I can always trust his heart. Maybe today you need to make a decision to trust Christ as Savior. Maybe today God is calling you to be part of this church family. Maybe today God is dealing with you in some very specific ways. Just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you want someone to help you know Jesus, if you want somebody to pray with you, if you want to become part of what God is doing at First Baptist through your membership, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Thank you. good to share this hour of worship together. My prayer is that your love and appreciation for the work of the Vine Dresser will grow even stronger in your life in the week to come. Let me remind you, this afternoon, an active deacons meeting at 4, then the deacon study at 5. This is going to be a special time because Ron and John are going to be talking to you about taking care of our church security issues. It's going to be an important meeting. And then the downstairs, we'll be moving back to the abiding life. It's been a few weeks since we've been together. Last week, we had a wonderful time as Rich blessed us. And then we had a couple of weeks when the weather kept us out. But tonight, we're going to be together. We have a great study together. So I look forward to all of that. Let's bow together for a closing prayer. And then one final song. Father, we do thank you that you're our vine dresser. We just pray, Lord, that we will depend upon you to do in and for us and through us the things that will make us everything you have in mind for us. We trust you. We depend upon you. We ask you to bless us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.